Hare Krishna.
Yeah, you know that?
Okay, now it's right.
Now go to the fire.
Now make it big.
Fine. It's four or five. Yeah, it needs to be done.
But it will not display.
What?
When you connect the projector, this screen becomes stronger.
Then you connect me to the projector. Let me do this. Do whatever it is. Hare Krishna. So we have to put attendance. We have to make a sheet maybe. Okay. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Jnane Namaste Saraswati Deve गौरवाणी प्रसारण निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Arguments And by what telling Arjuna is surrendering to Krishna, he says they are Musari Ma, Chaman Parakami. These two seven. And then Krishna is speaking about the Jnana. And what is this Jnana? This Jnana is Arun, body, soul. The difference of the body and soul, matter and spirit different. And in these verses, one of the arguments of Arjuna for not fighting, one of the arguments Arjuna gave for not fighting was compassion. So in these verses, Krishna has defeated the argument. Then, the next verse, 31 to 37, is here called karma khand. It is your dharma. The word, the exact word in these verses is swadharma, means occupational duty. If we perform, as Kshatriya you should perform your duty, and in this Krishna is defeating the Arjuna's argument for not fighting us, defeat enjoyment and sinful reactions. If Arjuna says, if I fight and kill these, then I will have sinful reactions. And there is no enjoyment. So in these verses, these two arguments are repeated. Then 38 to 53, Krishna is speaking another topic called Buddhi Yoga. So before this, what Krishna spoke is called Sankhya Yoga. Because till now I have discussed Sankhya Yoga, analogical study, and now I am speaking of Buddhi Yoga. Sankhya Yoga is equal to Jnana Yoga. Keep in your mind, when you hear the word Sankhya, it also means Jnana. And when you hear the word Buddhi Yoga, it means Bhakti Yoga, it also means Nishkam Karma Yoga. So Buddhi Yoga is equivalent to Bhakti Yoga and Nishkam Karma Yoga. So these are the two stages of the Yoga. Then Arjuna asked one question. And this one question has many subject matters. Istit Pragya Ka Bhasha Samadhi Kesha. Istit Pragya. Pragya means actually, Pragya is intelligence. Istit means fixed intelligence. How he walks, how he talks, how he thinks. And then Krishna explained this. Istit Dhir Muni, Istit Pragya. The symptom of a person who is Istit Pragya. And then, so this section is here, Istit Pragya. Can you see what is this? Just looking at it. What is this? Can somebody see? What is this? Can somebody explain? What is this? Who is this? Durvasa Muni and Amrish Maharaj. So what is shown in this picture? Amrish Maharaj is Istit Pragya. He has a fixed intelligence. He is not agitated by hunger even after fasting was there. And he was not agitated by even the curse of the Durvasa. He was simply focused on Krishna. Istit Pragya. Now, mm-hmm.
now we have to enter into this chapter. The third chapter is called, the name of the third chapter is Karma Yoga. When word yoga comes, it means there is some connection with Vishnu or Krishna. The word yoga establishes that whatever you do, karma, jnana, dhyana, but if there is a word yoga, it means there is connection with Vishnu. So yajna means Vishnu, and yoga also means connection with Vishnu. In this case. So in this chapter, Karma Yoga, the chapter is started by the question. One question Arjuna is asking, and that question is in two verses. So first and second verse of this chapter is question by Arjuna. Okay? We'll read this each verse by verse, and the next 3 to 9, the second set of verses, the answer by Krishna establishing karma yoga is superior to karma sannyas. This concept you just keep very clear in your mind. Karma Yoga is superior to Karma Sannyas. Third chapter, fifth chapter, 18th chapter. The same philosophical topic is discussed again and again. So for preaching purpose, message of Bhagavad Gita is work actively for Krishna. No renunciation of work. This is a theme of Bhagavad Gita. No giving up working. Always you have to work. The only difference is Bhagavad Gita, you have to work for Krishna, or you have to work for your personal sense gratification. That's the only difference. You have to work. So this is a one theme in Bhagavad Gita. You can see two and two.
Yeah, you have.
Then next set of verses 10 to 16 of this chapter, starting from Karma Kanda. So Karma Kanda is a section of Vedas. Veda has three divisions: Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Upasana Kanda. But the majority of the Veda is Karma Kanda, in which there are rituals of some yajna performed for benefit in this life and elevation to the heavenly life. That's called karma. Karma kanda. Okay? So karma kanda to karma yoga. In these verses, we will see first there is a description of Karma Kanda, and then gradually Karma Kanda advances into the Karma Yoga. This set of verses explain that when you are, the word is Atma Rati. Atma Rati means enjoying within. enjoying within, then you have nothing to do. But still, to stay the example, you have to work. Even if you are self-satisfied, who is self-satisfied by the way? Krishna. Atma Ram, he has nothing to do. But still he said, I am working. Why? To set an example, acharya principle. So these verses explain the state of a sadhak, state of a devotee, where he is self-satisfied. But still he is working. He don't need anything, but still he is working. And then, in these verses, Krishna is setting himself as example of this principle. And then, this last set of verses, this is Krishna's advice for the preachers. Don't disturb a text, show example. When you preach, don't disturb people. But by your example, inspire them in working for Krishna consciousness. So these are the typical verses for us in preaching. And the last section of this chapter is Nitya Vedena, eternal enemy, lust, Kaam is our eternal enemy. And how to conquer over Kaam, lust. Okay, this is the summary of the third chapter. So let's open our Bhagavad Gita, let's read together first verse. Everybody has Bhagavad Gita, sure?
Arjun vacha jayasi cheta karmaste mata buddhir janardana tatkim karmani ore ma yodasi keshava.
Now who is speaking this? Arjun. These are Arjun's words. Jyasti, jyasti, jyasti means if you think better. So he's telling to Krishna, if you think better, jyasi, cheta karmana ste. If you think that buddhi, buddhi means intelligence, the buddhi is higher than work or action, as you have said earlier in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, then tad kim karmani ghore mam, then why you are engaging me in ghastly work of this world? The word is neojasi. Neojasi, simply it means you are engaging, and neojasi see the very similar word in this 10th chapter, I think 36, verse 36, go to verse 36, can you see the last word neojita? This is neojiti and that is neojita, and that also means engage, but not as we engage somebody in serving prasad. This word neojit is like this. Have you seen bull? Never wants to pull the cart. Never wants to till the field. Then what they do? Put a rope in the nose. That is a neojit.
you are putting rope in my nose and pulling me that I should fight for this. It means you are, in other words, you are forcing me. It's like that. This word nyojit means by force. So Arjuna is asking that, so why Arjuna is asking this question? You go to 2nd chapter, verse 47. Only 43, yeah, 43, I think. Verse 49. Go to the verse 49. This is a link between these 2nd chapter and 3rd chapter. Verse 49. What is the verse 49?
Durene he karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya buddhau sharanam vichaha kripana palhetavaha.
Durena he avaram karma. Durena, you know durena? Dur, throw it away. Durena. And what is the next word? Avaram. You know varam? Avanya, you are merit. So you know you are varat someday? You know what? Varavadu. See, the husband is called var. And the girls are getting married called vadhu. Varam means actually putting varmala. That's what it means. Varam means varmala. Avaram means throw away. Duren he avaram karma. So this karma, the action, you throw it away. Don't embrace it. Don't make it your own. Buddhi yoga ad dhananjaya. Hey Arjun, you be fixed in buddhi yoga. So this is Krishna is saying something. So buddhi means intelligence. So Arjuna is thinking intelligence is better than karma. This is Arjuna's understanding. And now, then, Krishna says, buddhi buddhau sharanam anvichha. Kirpana phal hetava. Kirpana, you know kirpana? There is a Brahman and opposite word is kirpana. Brahman means broad-minded and kirpana means very miser. So kirpana, they work for phal hetava. They work only to get some food. So you just give it this work because it's for food. So this is the verse which was in Arjuna's mind. And then Krishna is telling to Arjuna, you stand and fight. Again he's saying you fight. So Arjuna is confused. He's confused. In fact, intelligence is higher than work. But he is a genuine student. So he puts the question in front of the Krishna for clearance for all of us. So where is the microphone? Who has microphone near? So Kripa Sagar Krishna Das, you read the translation of this verse. Which verse? No, you come to the first verse of third chapter. Read the translation.
Arjuna said, O Janardana, O Keshava, why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare? If you think that intelligence is better than brute force.
Now, in this purport, if you see, go to the purport, line 4, 3, say, sometimes, can you find the word sometimes? Sometimes, can you read this, Prabhu?
Sometimes, Krishna consciousness is misunderstood today.
In Russia.
In Russia.
And one
way to such a Vitasatyaji offer Vitra schedule is to become fully Krishna conscious by chanting the body of the Lord Krishna.
But
without being placed in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it is not advisable to chant the body of Krishna in a scheduled place. Whereon one may acquire only adoration from the innocent
public.
Arjuna also wrote,
this is question in your student book. Have you seen this? Have you read this? First question of third chapter is this? In your student book? Where you come read your Puro Swadhyaya? Puro means before. Swadhyaya means study. Study before teaching. Can you find is there a question? This question is there?
Yes.
Huh? What is the question? What Krishna consciousness sometimes is understood as in Russia. Is it clear? In other words, when you become devotees, you want to go retire in Radhakund and chant Hare Krishna, it is better, or live in Balaram Desh and preach, which is better? Live here and preach is better than go and live in Radhakund and chant your rounds, because that will not please Krishna. Yeah, you understand what it is? This is the higher purpose. Now, who will read the next? Give the microphone to the Nitya Keshav Das. Nitya Keshav Das, you read Arjun also part. For you.
Yes.
Okay? Huh? Is it practical?
Yeah.
Okay, this is
a sincere student.
What a sincere student.
He placed the matter before his master and questioned Krishna as the best goal of action. His answer, Lord Krishna generously explained Dharma Yoga, our work in Krishna consciousness in this same chapter.
Okay, so now on this verse there is a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He's explaining something, word Keshav and word Arjun used by Arjun in this case, Keshav and Janardhan. Okay? So here is commentary, and Prabhuji, you get the microphone and read. Who will read now? Let me come here, Anjali. Microphone go to Anjali.
Instinct, intelligence, buddhi,
bhakti,
transcendental guna is superior,
jayati. This is the another meaning from the Sanskrit words by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Fixed intelligence means sixth prajna. The another word for fixed intelligence in second chapter is vivastaya atmika buddhi. Vivastaya atmika buddhi. That means that intelligence is beyond three modes of material nature. That is higher than, is superior, then why do you?
Then why do you engage me in this terrible action in the form of war? O Janardana, by your order, you are causing pain, Arjana, to your own associate, Jana.
So Janardana here means, Jana means Janta, Jana means your men, and Arjana means giving pain. So why you are giving me pain, I am yours, by engaging me in war. So this is the one meaning of Janardana. Jan Ardhan. Jan means your own associate, like Harijan. Harijan, Vrajavasi, Vrajajan, Vrajajan Ranjan. That one Jan, Vrajajan Ranjan. So this is Jan and Ardhan. So this is the meaning of word Janardhan. Why this word Janardhan is used in this word, verse, okay? This is the way Arjuna, as a friend, is speaking now. Still, he accepted Krishna as a spiritual master, but still, he has the mood of friendship, like he is speaking, I am yours, why you are putting me in this trouble? Now the meaning of another word.
It is also not possible to avoid following your order.
Why?
O Kesava, controller of even Brahma and Shiva. Ka means Brahma, Kesava means Shiva, and Va means Vayasvi, you control.
So the meaning of the Kesava is controller of the Brahma and Shiva. Even Shiva and Brahma, they are controlled. So how can I avoid? I have to follow you. But you are putting me in this situation. Why? So in this Krishna Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, the two words Janardhan and Keshav are explained why Arjuna has used these two names. Is it okay? So first, still the Arjuna's question is continuing. Let's read the verse, second verse.
Vyameshrena vakena buddhim moryasi me tadhikam vada nishchitaya yena chayo aham apunyam.
So microphone should come here to our Partha Sarthi. Arya. So read the translation of this verse.
My intelligence is directed by your equivocal intention. Therefore, please tell me decisively which will be most beneficial for me.
In this verse, there is one important word. Yena Shriyo. Can you see the word Shriyo?
Yeah.
Shriya. There are two words commonly used. One is called Priya, another is called Shriya. Priya means for my personal benefit. And Shriya means according to the Dharma Shastra, according to the law given by Krishna. So Arjuna is asking what is good for my Shriya, not for my Priya. You understand, the word Shriya is most important. For you and me to understand the word Shriya is like this. For a diabetic patient, the Priya is halwa. He wants to eat some sweet somehow. But Shriya for him is karela. You understand the difference between the two? In this world, for us, something which is Priya is something which we like, but it is very dangerous for us. Shriya is what we don't like, but it is very helpful. So Arjuna is asking Shriya. And he started this word Shriya and also verse 7 of second chapter. Yat Shriya tu nishyam buri chanve shishyasyam sarimam tuam parma. I am surrender and your disciple, please tell me what is Shriya, not Priya. So think of always Shriya in your practical life as a devotee, always think of Shriya, not Priya.
Shriya is like, when you study Bhagavatam, the first question asked by the sages in Naimasharya is, what is Shriya? Actually, Shriya is Priyodana. Shriya means highest goal. That is Krishna prema. So Shriya, what is Shriya? Actually, Shriya is goal. Vyameshriya means Mithran means Mishran, you know Mishran? Two things mixed. So your words has double meaning. Yet, and then, what a nishchit eka. This is also, I think, in your question, what is the meaning of this Sanskrit word? Sadhyam vad ekam vad nishchaya. Is it in your book? Is it right? Is there? So, you must know the meaning of. So, tell me only one. What is your tell me? Tadat ekam vad nishchaya. Please tell me one thing. Tad ekam vad, say one thing. Tad ekam vad, nishchaya. Definitely tell me one thing. Now in this purpose, your Prabhupada is giving something. The last line of purpose, see, in other words, can you find in other words?
In other words, by discussing the experience of other Krishna consciousness for all students who directly want to understand the mystery of Bhagavad-gita.
So you are a student of Bhagavad-gita. It means this question is applicable to all of us. Krishna, by asking this question, in other words, to understand that Krishna and Arjuna is Krishna's eternal associate. He is simply acting here on behalf of all of us, that in future how can we understand Krishna consciousness? He is Krishna conscious. So this Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, clarify that Arjuna is not a bewilderer. He is Krishna's devotee, eternal associate. But he is asking this question for all of us. Mystery of Bhagavad Gita. Can you see the word mystery of Bhagavad Gita? So there are many, few lines Prabhupada speaks. In second chapter, Krishna is called as Sankhya Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, sense control by intelligence, work without fruitive desires, and the position of neophyte. They are all presented unsystematically. In second chapter, things are unsystematic. Why Krishna put all these things unsystematically? To? That's very nice, but you can change the word confusion for something more. To develop eagerness to more. Because Prabhupada writes, our Acharya writes, Krishna never wanted to confuse Arjuna. Krishna never wanted to confuse us. But as a good Jagat Guru, as a good teacher, Krishna has put these things to inspire Arjuna to be more inquisitive, to ask more questions. this is the best teacher is one which put the things in such a way that you ask questions. Then he explained them. Then you remember. If you ask question and then somebody explains, then you remember. If somebody speaks, you may not remember. So Krishna in second chapter has put the things in such a way that Arjun becomes enthusiastic, inquisitive, more wanting to know, and therefore he asks questions. And then Krishna explains, and at the end of explanation, he also puts some new word. Then also inspire Arjun to ask more. Then when Krishna completely explained everything, then in 18th chapter he gave the again whole summary. So this is the system of preaching. To talk somebody, say something in brief. Let them ask some questions. Then explain them in elaborate way. But when you are concluding, again give the summary. This is the method of proper teaching. Okay? So Krishna has put the things unsystematically. A more organized outline of path would be necessary for action and understanding. Arjun therefore wanted to clear up these apparently confusing matters, apparently confused, so that any common man could accept them without misinterpretation. Although Krishna had no intention of confusing Arjun by any general efforts. Okay? So these two are the question by Arjun. Is it clear? Arjun's question is, if the buddhi yoga or jnana or renunciation of work is better than karma, action, because action always has some reaction, then why you are engaging me in this war which is action? And then, as a serious student, Arjun is speaking that these words in second chapter have double meaning. You say Atmika Buddhi, and then you say Utishta and fight. So it appears that please make it very clear what you want actually. That's what Arjun's question is. Now what is Krishna's answer? The new set of verses up to 9. What is this? What is on the screen? Karma Yoga superior to? And what is the meaning of Karma Sanyas? Sanyas means giving up karma. Giving up karma. It's Karma Sanyas. Sanyas also means renounce of life, both things. So, this is Arjun's words. What are these Arjun's words? Who has a microphone? Prabhuji, kya naam aapka?
Shagadi
Govind. To read what is there?
Swayam Bhuktam.
Bhaikshyam Bhaktiya
Loke.
This is Arjun said in second chapter, fifth verse. It would be better to live in this world by begging. What it means? Not doing action, retiring in the forest and begging means sannyasi. So Arjun wanted this. And then this is the another verse from second chapter. What is this verse? Yoga Chakra Karmani Sangam Chakwadhanam Jayanandaya.
Perform your duty in a few words. Oh Arjuna, abandoning all attachment to success are for you.
This is yoga. Samatvam yoga uchyate. That is called yoga equilibrium. So, yoga is the kuru karmani. be situated in yoga and do your action. So now Krishna is saying, no, you do. You don't go and retire, you do work. So this is it. Work is the superior to the karma sannyasa. In second chapter, these are the two verses. Krishna is proving this. Is it clear? Okay? This is the verse in fifth chapter. Just at one place to give you idea that the whole theme of Bhagavad Gita is working for Krishna is better than sannyas. Okay? So in second chapter, fifth chapter, second verse is Tayastu Karma Sannyasa Karma Yoga Vishishyate. Of the two, means Karma Sannyasa and Karma Yoga, of the two. Work in devotional service means karma yoga is better than renunciation of work or karma sannyas. This is Krishna's opinion and fifth chapter. Is it okay? So now we have how many? Three quotes. One quote by Arjuna and two quotes by Krishna to defeat the argument. What it means is that you have to write, say, 10 lines about this topic. Karma yoga is superior to karma sannyas. Then you quote these verses. Is it clear? Can you try to write, take 10 minutes and write 2 lines. Karma, yoga is superior to karma sannyas. And now you have these two, three verses as a guideline. Is it okay? Are you satisfied? It's all right? Arjuna is saying, I want to retire, but Krishna is saying, no. Therefore, sometime in preaching, people say, we become Krishna conscious, then we have not to work. No, no, no. Krishna consciousness makes you work very perfectly. It will make you work in a right consciousness. So there is some group exercise, what do you think? Trainer is showing reasons why karma yoga is superior to karma sannyas. Krishna understands. It means you make some drawing to show, drawing or some chart to show. Krishna's statement, Sanskrit verses and phrases, Prabhupada's statement in his purport, examples, analogies. You understand this is what is where put the group exercise, which means one group is Mataji and make 3 groups among yourselves, so total 4 groups. You take time with yourself and work on this. We have just given you some idea, but you read and then come up with some solid statement that karma yoga is better than karma sannyas. This is Gita's message. You understand this? So this is group one. Until you are in charge for this group, you have to make some. And then if you have some, if other 3 groups or some, then we'll put something here that we'll have some solid things. Okay? So the second group is our Sankirtan. Sankirtan? Satsang. So you have this, you are 5. 3 plus 2, 5. Okay? You know your group. 5. So no, there must be 6. 6. And the rest are more still, huh? 3, 3, 6 and 2, 8. Yeah, it should be 8, 7, 8. So on this side, the guru, who would like to be in charge of this group? Parthasarji? Okay, then on this side, you figure out the names of your group. So because it will take little time for your study, so you come up with, and then, so 1, 2, 3 and eight. The remaining, this group is group 4, and you, Kanai Prabhu, Sundar Kanai, you, this is your group, okay, Is the four group okay or we should get five? Four can work? Big work. Five group? So six, how many? There are six. I think four groups. Four groups of six. So one is the leader is our Parthasarathi Prabhu, one is Sundar Kanai Prabhu, one is Satsang, and one Govinda. Okay? Sharanagati Govinda. So who is in Prabhuji's group? Is it okay? When you want to do this exercise? You have tomorrow 3 days. You are coming here after tomorrow for class. So tomorrow you should do, somehow you work out some time and on your own, do something, and day after tomorrow when you come with some solid points on this subject. Is it okay? Alright? Hare Krishna. So now let us go to Krishna's answer. Okay, there is something more for you. Now, there are very nice, how many, five groups? You are giving me some more idea. Hare Krishna, be attentive. Now these groups, Mataji, your group is group number 1. And you have to read second chapter, verse 60 and 61. And you will find something on this subject matter, okay? Group 1, your verses you remember. Group 2, your verses are second chapter 62, 63. Group 3, Parthasarathi, your group has verses 67, 68, second chapter. Kanai, Sundar Kanai, your verses are chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. And Sharanagati Govind, your group's verses, chapter 3, verse 6, 7 and 8. Now, because now you have limited verses to read, then you have come with something, then we all will put things together, then we will have a complete picture. Is it okay? Is this clear? What is the subject? Karma Yoga is superior to? Let's read Krishna's answer now. Verse 3. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Loke Atmin Dvedha Nishtha Pura Prokta Maya Nagaha Jnana Yoga Sankhyana Karma Yoga Na Yogina. Now, this verse Krishna is speaking, Loke Asmin Dvividha Nishtha. Loke Asmin means in this world. Dvividha. Dve means two. Vidha and Vidhi are different. You know, Vidhi means two parts. Vidha means two feet. Vidhi and Vidha are different. It's not Vidhi, it's Vidha. Vidha, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained, Vidha means strong faith. There are two stages. They are not two different persons. Two different stages on a spiritual path. Dve Vidha Pura Prokta, Dve Vidha Nishtha. Nishtha means faith. There are two stages of faith. Pura Prokta, since the old time, since time past. Maya Anaga is a address to Arjuna. Anaga means? Anaga. You know one demon killed by Krishna, Aghasu, Agami, Sin. Anagami, Sin lit. So Aghasu, Agami, Sin. And Asur means? So if Aghasu has to introduce himself to you, how will he introduce? My dear sir, I am sinful demon. And the way he will say, Aghasur, how will he introduce? My dear sir, I am sinful demon. This is what Aghasur will say. So anag means sinless. Jnana yogena sankhyana. So this is a one stage. Jnana yoga or sankhya yoga. The other stage is karma yogena yogina. There are one group called Sankhyavadi. They are in Jnana Yoga. There are other yogis. They are karma yogis. So these are the two stages, one above the other. Is it okay? Now read the translation. Prabhuji, translation. Who will read the translation? Yeah, next. Here is.
Hare Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is there. O single Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize self. Some are inclined to understand by empirical, philosophical speculation, and other by devotional service.
So, path is one. But some persons are at certain level and other persons are at the other level. Some have faith in one thing, some have faith in other thing, but they are on the same path. This is the concept of one topic which we will discuss throughout this section is yoga ladder. Yoga ladder. You have some concept of yoga ladder? Ladder, you know ladder? Yoga ladder, ladder. Ladder, sir? What ladder means? Seedy. So yoga is a ladder. And then that ladder has different rungs. Or in one building which is four floor building. And then there is a ladder. That is staircase. So all the staircase is called a staircase. But the first floor has some name, second floor has some name, third floor has some name. So yoga is a ladder. Karma yoga is one floor. Jnana yoga is second floor. Jnana yoga is third floor. Bhakti yoga is top floor. But the ladder is one. Different names of the yoga are the different stages on that ladder. Is it clear? So karma yoga is one stage and jnana yoga is the other stage on the yoga ladder. Is it clear? Now what Srila Prabhupada is speaking in the purport, you see. Verse 39, Lord explained two kinds of procedures, namely Sankhya and Karma Yoga Buddhi. So this verse is in 39 verse. 39 second chapter. Up till now I have spoken about Sankhya Yoga, now I will speak about Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yoga, can you see that? 39 verse. एशाते अधिता सांख्य बुद्धियोगो बुद्धियोगो तो इमं शनो बुद्धियायुक्तो जयापाद करमबंधमत्रा अस्यति. So there are two paths. One is Jnan Yoga, one is Karm Yoga. The Jnan Yoga is also called Sankhya Yoga and Karm Yoga is also called Buddhi Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. Okay? Now what Prabhupada is writing, next line is in this purport, there is one thing which you have always to remember. Therefore, can you find in the middle of the purport, there is a word, therefore? therefore both the yoga are interdependent. Can you find in the middle of the purport? Both the yogas, therefore both the yogas, the karma yoga and jnana yoga, are sankhya yoga and buddhi yoga are interdependent. As example is given, this is called analogy. As religion and philosophy. Religion without philosophy is sentiment, or sometimes fanaticism. While philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So this is, the both yogas are independent, interdependent. They are not independent, they are interdependent. And the analogy is religion and philosophy. So this is the important point in this purport. The most important point in this purport. Okay, let's go further. So Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga interdependent like the religion and philosophy. The whole process means the whole process of the yoga. The whole process is to understand the real position of the self in relation to the super self. Will you find this in your purpose? The whole process is to understand the real position of the self in relation to the super self. The indirect process is philosophical speculation by which gradually one may come to the point of Krishna consciousness. And the other process is directly connecting with everything in Krishna consciousness. Of the two, the path of Krishna consciousness is better because it does not depend on purifying the senses by philosophical process. So this is one group has to find out these points. Which is better for us? Can you find this? This one group 4, verse 4. Okay? Is it clear? One is indirect, one is direct. In other words, if there is a question, what is the difference between the two processes, karma yoga and jnana yoga, then one is direct, one is indirect. One depends on purification of senses, one, all the senses are engaged in Krishna's service, in karma yoga. And jnana yoga, you have to purify senses on your own. One is direct, one is indirect. So in this way, you use the different, from different angles you understand these two processes, karma yoga and jnana yoga. Therefore, karma yoga is better, superior. Okay? Let's go to the verse 4. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Krishna, karma yoga, when we discuss karma yoga, generally it is nishkam karma yoga, which is equivalent to the bhakti yoga, Prabhupada has used interchangeably. In public, when you preach, people say, we are doing karma. Gita is speaking about karma. Tell them, no. Gita is speaking about karma yoga, not karma. There is a difference between the karma and karma yoga. The karma in Gita is the next chapter. Arjuna is asking one question, kim tad karma? Kim tad karma? Kim adhyatma? What is karma? Purushottama. And then Krishna answers, karma is one by which you will get new body to enjoy or suffer the reaction of your karma. So if you are doing karma, it means you are preparing your next body. But if you are doing karma yoga, it means you are freeing yourself. You are getting free yourself from the bondage of the action and reaction of karma. There is a difference between the karma and karma yoga. Karma yoga is of two types. Sakam karma yoga and nishkam karma yoga. Sakam karma means desire. Sakam karma yoga, coming in the temple of Krishna, praying to be Krishna, but want to get health improved. And serving Krishna and giving the result of my karma to Krishna, offering Lakshmi to Krishna, but I need some improvement in health. This is sakam karma. I have some desire, but still I am giving something to Krishna. It means I am working, the result I am sharing with Krishna. I need something, something I will give to Krishna. So I have some desire. Nishkam karma means I will work. Whatever I get, I will offer to Krishna. Like the full-time devotees in the temple, they are devotees. Whatever they are doing, they are just offering everything to Krishna. So then what is the difference between the nishkam karma yoga and bhakti? The difference is, in a nishkam karma yoga, the person is attached to the karma, but not to the result. Like example, one is pujari. He said, I am not getting any salary, I don't need any fruits, but I only do puja. I cannot clean the temple. It means he is attached to the karma, but not attached to the fruit. Devotee is neither attached to the karma nor to the fruit. Pujari, can you do puja? Yes. Can you clean temple? Yes. He is not attached to any particular karma, that is bhakta. Therefore, Prabhupada said, our devotees should have a military discipline, army discipline. Do this? Yes. Do this? Yes. One Prabhupada's disciple, Narayani Mataji, she was in Calcutta, and somebody said, we need a editor or translator for Bengali for Prabhupada. Can you do? She said, yes. And she was not knowing Bengali at all. He said, yes. If I have to do, then I will learn and I will do it. It means, if Prabhupada wants and there is a need, then I'm ready to do it and I will do it. So that's what she said. I did it like this. So so what is the difference between these? Nishkam karma yoga and bhakti yoga? Nishkam karma yogi is attached to the action and not attached to the fruits. While bhakti is neither attached to the action nor to the fruits. So now next verse is, now Krishna is speaking, na karmanam anarambhan naishkarmaya krishna ashnati nahi sanyasa eva siddhim samadhigacchati. This is verse 4. Can you see the verse 4? Na karmanam anarambhan. If one will not start doing karma, then neshkarmayam purushno achnoti. Then that person, how can he be nishkarmaya? Nishkarmaya means, how can he be free from the karma? If he don't start, then how can he be free? You have to start doing karma. Then you can give up karma. Something like that. If you have to cook prasad, then you have to get wood, you have to have fire, you need fast, you need everything. And then when your cooking is over, then you will let the fire be off, let the pot go over and clean everything. So, for food you have to work. But when the food is ready, then you can give up the work. But you don't want to do anything, then after you have your food. But somebody said, after all you have to turn off the fire, then why you are having fire? So no fire, no food. So without work, you cannot get result. Even to become neshkarmaya. Neshkarmaya means free from the reaction of karma. Without doing karma, you can never be free from the bondage of the karma. And similarly, nata sanyasa eva siddhim samadhi gacchati. If somebody give up karma and become a sannyasi, he will not be perfect also. The process is this. When we do nishkama karma yoga, it purifies our heart. The process of nishkama karma yoga purifies antahkaran. Antahkaran means internal senses, mind and intelligence. It purifies mind, intelligence and ego. So nishkam karma yoga is necessary for purification of the senses, purification of the mind, purification of the intelligence. Without that, without purification of the heart, if you become sannyasi, then you will be disturbance in the society. So go stage by stage. That's what this verse is speaking. Now read the translation, Prabhu.
Not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from vehicle.
Freedom from vehicle means neshkarmaya.
Not by renunciation alone can one attain perfection.
Now you who read this line, without purification of heart, sannyas is simply a disturbance to the social order.
On the other hand, if someone takes to the confidential service of the Lord, even without discharging his prescribed duties, whatever he may be able to advance in the cause is accepted by the Lord, Buddhi Yoga. So, Swalpam Abhi Dharmasya Rayasya Mahatmuhya. Even a slightly performance of such a principle enables one to overcome great difficulties.
Hare Krishna. So, can you understand this? Purification of heart, what is the process for purification of heart? Karma yoga. If we don't do karma yoga, we will not purify heart. We will not purify heart, then we cannot be sannyasi. If we take sannyas with the heart not pure then, the next word is speaking that. But before that, Prabhupada has given a positive answer. Even if your heart is not purified, but if you work for Krishna, then Krishna assures you, whatever little you do, it is beneficial for you. Svalpamasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya. Very small endeavor on this part of Buddhi Yoga will save you from greatest danger. The example is Hajamin. Unknowingly, he simply chanted the name of his son Narayan and he was saved from greatest danger. He was not purified. He was not purified by any process, but by simply mercy of saintly people and utterance of name Narayan, he was purified. He was saved from a greater danger of Yamadutas. Is it clear? So now, what if heart is not purified? Then what will happen? Still Krishna is saying verse 5 that you cannot live without doing work. Nahi kaschit kshanam api. Padhiye saath mein, you all read together. Nahi kaschit kshanam api jato tishasya akangir kayate hi avasa karma sarva prasarchi jaye gunai. Now in this, then the word, one word can you see? Avashaha. Avashaha. Avasha, in your own language, what is the meaning of avasha? Yes, it means even if you don't want, what you will do. Avasha means, Prabhupada said automatically. Is it automatically? Helplessly. What it means? It is like this. And the next, after avasha, the last line. Prakriti Jai. Jai means born of your nature. It's like this. When Arjuna says, I don't want to fight, Krishna says, alright, go. When you go out from here and from behind, Duryodhana and Karna will call and say, hey coward, going. At that time, your Kshatriya Swabhava will force you to fight. And you will fight. Avastha, helplessly, you will fight because it is your nature. You cannot stop it. You understand this? So your nature will force you to act. Therefore, don't give up action. Purify your action, but don't give it up. That one he become a devotee. With the devotees. In the night when everybody was sleeping, thief has only night business, no sleeping. He has to do some suffering. Now he has become devotee, what can he do? So he was opening one bag, taking dhoti of one person, putting in another bag, taking the lota of one devotee, putting into the other glass, demanding everybody says, where's my dhoti, where's my... And then this person says, please excuse me, I am thief. Now I have become devotee. I cannot steal, but at least I can put the things from here to there because it's my habit, what can I do? So, this is the nature. You will do it. Avasha means helplessly. Your nature will force you to do it. I told you one other example previously. A goldsmith becomes a sadhu. He's going for roti. Some mother is going roti, he is doing like this, 10 grams, not more than 10 grams. Whole life he has waited, he goes cold, and after that he was looking at roti. This is not pure wheat, it is maybe some 16 crates roti. It is not pure roti, it is something mixed in it. But this is his nature, even if he becomes devotee, he will do the same thing. So, Krishna is saying, your nature will force you, Arjuna. You will do it. You cannot stop working. This is a very powerful statement. So, the translation is, everyone is, where is the microphone? Let the microphone go to the next slide. Yes. Everyone is forced.
Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the mode of material nature.
Which means his swabhava, his nature.
Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment.
So kshana, kshana means for a moment you cannot stop working. Therefore you must work. There's no way you can stop working. So in purport, Prabhupada is speaking of the nature of the soul. In the purport first line, can you read?
It is not a question of embodied life, but it is the nature of soul to be always active. Can you understand the Prabhupada's vision? Our body is conditioned according to certain swabhava. Say, if there's a female body, it has some swabhava. The male body, it has some nature. Not speaking of body, Krishna is speaking, soul is active. Soul can never be inactive. Soul by nature is active. We have swabhava of the body. So similarly, there is a swabhava of the soul. There is called jivera swarupa hai, krishnera nitya dham. So what is the nature of soul? This is the question asked by Sanatana Goswami to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is the nature of soul? And the answer given by Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is jivera swarupa hai, krishnera nitya dham. The nature of the soul is always to be the servant of Krishna. So servant can sleep? No. Ram kama nahi vishrama is what Hanuman is saying. When I am servant of the Ram, I cannot take rest. When I am on duty, I cannot take rest. So we are soul, so we are always in service of Krishna. So we have to be active. How can we be inactive? So this active principle is, Prabhupada is focusing, who is active? Body? No, soul. Soul by nature is active. Sometimes I'll give an example. Can you stop for half an hour, keep your, can you put your hands like this and sit for half an hour? No, no, you have to do something. You cannot be actionless for a moment. You have to blunt your eyes. You cannot stop. The whole function of the body is that because of the soul. Soul is active. This is the first line of the purpose. Then, the body is only the gate vehicle to be worked by the spirit soul, which is always active and cannot stop even for a moment. Therefore, a spirit soul has to be engaged in good work of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will be engaged in occupational dictation by illusory energy. Occupational? Can you say, can you read this line? You understood this line? Prabhupada is speaking very deep philosophy in these two lines. If you will not engage the soul in service of Krishna consciousness, then the body will force the soul to work for the material energy. So you have only two choices now. Either you work for Krishna or you work for Maya. If you work for Maya, then you are called Mudha. If you work for Krishna, then you are called Devotee. So in this world, there are only two varieties, either Mudha or Devotee. Mudha means ash, and gada. Mudha means gada, ash. Work hard simply for eating two times. So now, you have only, there are only two, there is no third in between, either Mudha or Devotee. If you will not use the activity of the soul in the service of Krishna consciousness, then automatically you are working for Maya as a Mudha. Is it clear? It's a very, very bold and strong statement of Prabhupada. Your occupational duty is also, you have to work like a Mudha. So work for Krishna or work for Maya.
Working for Krishna needs activity. Working for Maya is automatic. Because if you don't work for Krishna, automatically you will work for Maya, our. Without helplessly you will work. So if you are active as a soul, then work for Krishna. If you don't work, then helplessly you will work for Maya. And Maya should make you to dance. Can make you to dance in this world like anything. So which you want? This is for your preaching, very bold statement. If you are strong, you are active. And then because Prabhupada has used word, it's very, very high philosophy, these two, three lines. Prabhupada is speaking, either you work according to the nature of soul for Krishna, or else you work according to the Shastra in your own world and ashram. The one is direct devotee, the one and ashram. But even if you work in world and ashram, then Prabhupada is quoting a verse from Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, fifth chapter. Can somebody read the translation of this word? Prabhu, Harun, Harun? Yes. If someone
takes to Krishna consciousness, even though he may not follow the precise duty in the Shastra or execute the devotion service properly, and even though he may fall down from the standard, there is no loss or evil for him. But if he carries out all the injunctions for purification in the Shastra, what does it avail him if he is not Krishna conscious? So, the purification process is the necessary for reaching this point of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, sannyasa or any purification process is to help reach the ultimate goal of becoming Krishna conscious. With our best, everything is considered a failure.
So, this Bhagavatam verse is focusing, if you become a devotee, you may not be perfect, you may make mistakes. But still, you are protected by Krishna. There is no loss. But if you work according to the Shastra for purification, and even purifying yourself but not reaching to Krishna, then what is the gain? So the Krishna's mood is, as a soul you must work according to my direction for me. Now, if you don't work for Krishna, the verse before, you have to work always. So we said, if you have not purified your heart, and if you take sannyas, it means you give up the work, then outwardly you may close your eyes and sit in samadhi, but your mind will think of enjoyment. Because it's not purified. And then you are mithyachari. Mithyachari are pretender, imposter. So this is the verse we are reading now. Verse 6. Let's read together.
Karmendriyani sanyamya ya asate manasa samram इंद्रियार्थान विमूढ आत्मा मिथ्याचार का उच्यते कर्म इंद्रिय
यू नो दी सेंसेस आर फाइव सेंसेस आर कॉल्ड कर्म इंद्रिय फाइव सेंसेस आर कॉल्ड ज्ञान इंद्रिय यू नो दिस karma indriya, head, leg, gyan indriya, eyes to see, ears to hear. So one can control his karma indriya. What is the word here? Sanyama means control karma indriya. One may control karma indriya, but the mind is thinking of sense enjoyment. Mana samaranti indriya. So mind is thinking of enjoyment and working senses means I'm sitting here with closed eyes and I cannot walk. Mon vritta, I'm not going to speak. But your mind is thinking of so many things. Then he is vimura atma. Is vimura atma and he is mithyachari. There are two words. Vimura atma, which means fool. Vimura is fool and is pretender. Now read this translation. Yes, Prabhu. Ratan.
One who refrains the senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender.
So delude himself means vimura and mithyacharya means pretender. Rishkan is senses of action, means working senses, karma indriya. Five karma indriya, you must clearly know what are the five karma indriya. Five jnan indriya. Knowledge acquiring senses, working senses. What are the five working senses? What? Hands, legs. Yes, okay. Anathan generation. Five. And knowledge acquiring senses? Eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin. Okay. Sense of touch, skin. Sense of smell, nose. Sense of taste, tongue. Sense of hearing, ear. Sense of sight, eye. These are knowledge acquiring senses. And five working senses are also hands, legs, anus, genital and tongue also. Okay? So you may start working senses, but your mind is still thinking of sense object. So then he is mithyachar. So what is the definition of mithyachar? Purpose is self-explanatory. You must understand what is mithyachar. Okay? At the bank of Ganga in Kashi, Sadhu was sitting in night asana samadhi. People come for taking bath. They think his Sadhu Lekar just keep things here. He keep all his valuable things here. Sadhu was sitting like that. When he went to take bath, Sadhu just took on the golden chain and put it under his seat and sitting like this. He came in looking for his golden chain. This Sadhu, who can say, is this in meditation? He, where's my chain? Where's my chain? Where's my chain? Everybody said, this Sadhu, where's chain? Where's... Then somehow there was wind blowing and his asana was taken off him. And the chain was shining under this. So this is what mithyachari is. They sit at these places of pilgrimage, look, sit like a sannyasi, giving jata, but they are thinking of how to milk money from the people. They may speak nice philosophy. They will speak nice philosophy. And people say, oh, very nice. But they are Mithyachari, they are pretenders. So who is Mithyachari in your own language? Can you describe what is Mithyachari, Prabhu? What is your name? Mani. Mani Par. Mani Griva. Mani Kanta. That is Mani Griva, Mani Kanta. So Mani Kanta, what is the meaning of Mithyachari? Making show of yogi and sannyasi, but thinking of enjoying his senses. What is it? Sometimes you ask to become mithyachari in your own practice? Devotee? It is too late, I will not eat. For Guruji, I will not eat. It is too late, I cannot get up in Mangalarti. We reach at home. But where is my personal? I am too hungry. The public, you have to stay because this is something we do always. It's not that people do. We also do so many things. So there is something. So this is called Mithyachara. If heart is not purified, there is always a trouble. The verse 7. We'll do till verse 9. Okay? Two more verses we'll do quickly.
Yastva indriyani manasa nyamyarabhate arjuna karmendriya karma yogam asaktasa visheshyate.
Now, better, this one was the sannyasi. Verse 6 is speaking of a pretender sannyasi. Better than this pretender sannyasi, the verse 7 is speaking of a grihastha. It is better to be grihastha and regulate your senses rather than before purification of heart become sannyasi and create a problem in the society. So this verse speaks, it is better. You read the translation, Prabhu. On the other hand, yes? Yes, Prabhu.
On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by mind and being karma yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, is by far superior.
So this is Nishkam Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga without attachment is Nishkam Karma Yoga. So if he tries to control his senses by mind, and what is in the verse 6? Senses are controlled, mind is free. Here mind is used to control the senses. Which is higher, mind or senses? This is a second chapter. Higher than body are the senses, higher than senses is mind. Higher than mind is intelligence. Higher than intelligence is soul. So mind, so there is better to use the mind to control the senses. How to control the senses? By engaging in activities of Nishkam Karma Yoga. How to control the senses? By engaging the senses in Nishkam Karma Yoga for Krishna consciousness. That is better. So Srila Prabhupada is writing, instead of becoming a pseudo transcendentalist, for the sake of quantum living and sense enjoyment, it's far better to remain in one's own business and execute the purpose of life, which is to get free from material bondage and enter into the kingdom of God. The prime swartha gati are the goal of self-interest to reach to Vishnu. Ah, household, a householder can also reach this destination by regulated service in Krishna Consciousness. So this householder is better. So last line, see, this is a sincere sweeper in this street is far better than the charlatan meditator who meditated only for the sake of making a living. This is what this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to say. It is better to sweep the street, earn and mention than to become a sadhu in a name and beg and live. That's what the line is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. The statement Prabhupada is put in the one line. So now verse 8. Niyatam kuru karma tvam karma jayo hi akarmanah shariya yatra pichate naprasidhye akarmanah. So here the akarman has a different meaning than the akarman we will come across in chapter 4. Here akarma means no action. It is better, niyatam kuru karmasam. Niyatam means prescribed. Niyatam means those which are prescribed by shastra for each varnanashram. Niyatam means prescribed by shastra. Duty is prescribed by shastra. Niyatam kuru karmasam. Arjun, you do your prescribed duty. Karma jayahi akarma. Jaya is same thing. Jaya word is in the first verse. Jyasi. So karma, karma jaya, karma is better. Karma jaya, karma is better than akarma, than inaction. The work is better than inaction. This is also the verse, Sanskrit verse. And then Krishna is giving example. Sharir yatra, to maintain your body you have to work. You cannot live without working to maintain your body. Sharir yatra pichate na pratyate akarma. If you don't work, how will you maintain your body even? Now see the translation. Yes, sir.
Perform your prescribed duty. For doing so is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work.
Yeah, this is very clear. So you have to work. You cannot do. So working is better than not working. So, in the first portion of Prabhupada was speaking, Arjuna was a householder. Can you see this? Krishna did not want, can you see? Lord Krishna did not want Arjuna to become a pretender. Rather, the Lord desired that Arjuna perform his prescribed duty and set forth for Kshatriya. Arjuna was a householder, a military man, military general, and therefore it was better for him to remain as such and perform his religious duties as prescribed for the householder, Kshatriya. Such activities gradually clean the heart of a mundane man and free him from the material contamination. So-called renunciation for the purpose of maintenance is never approved by the Lord, nor by any religious scripture. After all, one has to maintain one's body and soul together by some work. What should not be given up capriciously without purification of materialistic propensities. Okay? So, now the last verse of this section is introducing a one new word. Now, after Krishna says, you have to work. You must work. You cannot give up work. But Arjuna asks, work for whom? I should work for whom? Now this ninth verse is speaking, yajnārthāt karmao anyatra loko ayam karma bandhana tadārtham karma gaunteya muktasam. Yajnārtha karmao, what for yajna? What is yajna? Vishnu is yajna. Hari is called yajna, Vishnu is called yajna. And in 8th chapter, Krishna is, Arjuna is asking who is yajna and where he is living. And Krishna answered, I am yajna and I am living in everybody's heart. So who is yajna? Vishnu. So you work for Vishnu. Now it becomes karma yoga. If you work for Krishna, then it becomes karma yoga. Okay? Yajnārthāt karmano anyatra, otherwise karma bandhana, otherwise karma will result in reaction and you will be there to suffer the reaction or enjoy the reaction, but there will be continuity of your birth and death. Tadartham, tad means Vishnu, tad means yajna. Tadartham karma karmani. Tadartham karma kaunteya. Do work for Vishnu, work for Krishna. And then mukta sanga. And then you are free. Samachara. Do perfectly. You are free. Liberated from this attachment. So translation is, read the translation.
Work done as sacrifice for Vishnu has to perform, otherwise work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O Sana Kunti, perform your sacrifice for his satisfaction, and in that case you will always remain free from bondage.
So work for whom? For Vishnu. Then it becomes karma yoga. Okay? But yajna can be also for some other demigods. So it could be karma kand also. So from here onward, first karma kand and then karma yoga. This will continue. Tomorrow we'll do. But let us read the purport of this verse. So mostly the first part of the purport is best. Yajna means Lord Vishnu. Okay? Yajna vai Vishnu. Yajna vai Vishnu. The second part is, the Varna Ashram institution also ends at satisfying Vishnu. If you as a Kshatri will fight, then it is yajna for you. There is also for satisfaction of Vishnu. So Varna Ashram institution also ends at satisfying Vishnu. Varna Ashram Acharta, Varna Ashram Acharvata Purushena Parahapuman Vishnu Aradhyate. So, go to the next para and come down and see, one should therefore, will you find this line? One should therefore act very diligently under the expert guidance of a devotee of Lord Krishna or under the direct instruction of Lord Krishna himself, under whom Arjuna has the opportunity to work. Nothing should be performed for sense gratification. But everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. This practice will not only save one from reaction of work, but also gradually elevate one to the transcendental loving service of the Lord, which alone can raise one to the kingdom of God. Okay? Hare Krishna, let's see what is here. Read this, Prabhu. Get microphone. Who is there? Next. Yes, Prabhu. Kesha. The renown here, right here. The renown of life can be accepted.
The renown of life can be accepted when one has been purified by the discharge of is the present form of duty, which are laid down just to verify the heart of majestic man. Without verification, one cannot attain success by abruptly adopting the fourth order of life, sannyasa. Without verification of heart, sannyasa is simply a disturbance to the social order.
This is from the purport of what we have Prabhupada. This is the purport, okay? This is the work just we have done. Purport. This is on verse 8, which is verse 8, purport by Balgir Vidya Bhushan.
Therefore, since you have to your heart, you must necessarily
Niyatam.
Niyatam. Perform cultural activities for verification of the heart. This means perform these cultural activities without a desire. Performing activities is better than renouncing all actions out of enthusiasm, because this will gradually lead to attained sense of jnana, just as steps lead to the top of despair. This is because jnana will not arise in the contaminated heart of that person who prematurely renounces all actions out of enthusiasm only.
So this enthusiasm, sometimes I want to become devotee, I want to live in temple, and I leave the things and come in temple and take away the things of the temple. We have many devotees, enthusiastic, they are coming, having their saffron color, and we trust them. We never ask the address of their home. We think they are sadhus, there is no problem. We send them on sankirtan, and from birth, when the collection is 40-50,000, disappear in the night, and we don't have address to find them. We have so many incidents like this in temple. So this type of enthusiasm is not good. Now we are, but in temples, if you want to really join, first you work, maintain yourself and give half salary to the temple, then you full time come in the temple. But you must know how to live in this world. Simply eating in the temple is not for lazy and crazy, to boarding and lodging, is not boarding and lodging. So enthusiasm sometimes is wrong. Now this is verse 9, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. And probably next three.
Sri Kuchin says that what is pocket like action? Kalpana, Sante,
Bhajate Jansu. If you work, then you are always bound. This is that rule. Okay?
Now I am offered to Krishna and Dharma by me.
So this is Krishna's answer to the Arjuna. If you work for Supreme Lord, then you will not be bound. Okay?
Dharma, spiritual duty, offered to Vishnu without personal desire is called Yajna. Patients think about by dharma, by others' actions for any other purpose. Therefore, if you should perform action, karma, amagara, for that, accomplishing such duties, such artham.
Karma samachar, there is no word. Karma samachar, tad artham. This is the verse as it is. But even if, yes?
Even if I perform action, which are offered to Vishnu, if I perform now this defect, then I will still become bound. I will still become bound.
That's what it's saying, okay?
One should become devoid of the desire about that.
Moksha Sangha. Krishna is saying, you have to be free from desire, okay?
That's the Lord talk to Uddhava.
Swadharmaso yajna yajnahi anasi kama udhava nayati swarga narakau yatya anyau dasamachare asmaloke vartamana swadharmaso anasa suci jnanam vishuddham apnoti mad bhaktim va yad
richaya. My dear Uddhava, a person in situation in from only one meeting by weighing activation, but not engaging the low-key result of such one meeting. Will not go through the heavenly fashion in love by not performing fraudulent activity, he will not go to the end.
Okay. So no heaven, no hell, go back to home, back to Godhead, work for Krishna. Yajna Arthat Karma. This is the lesson we have finished. This is already the second chapter. Read this, something is good. Perfection is sure, okay? So,
thank you, sir. So, the yogis and other methods, they are trying to control the senses by force. I shall go to the Himalayas, I shall not see any more beautiful woman. I shall go down my eyes. These are soulful. You cannot control your senses. There are many incidents. You don't enjoy to go to Himalayas. Just remain frozen in the city, and we will have to see Krishna. The mother is person who has lost mind.
This is Prabhupada's mood. Somebody told me that there was a one American lady, she lived in Gangotri, in Gomukh, 2 years. But when she came down, she said, I am missing the coffee party of New York. And she went back to New York, back to tea and coffee. So that's what forceful control may last for a few months, few years, but that's what Prabhupada's mood is. Perfection is sure. Continue.
Sure.
Yes. I have to remember next. Yes, Prabhupada. You will forget all other things.
You will forget all other things.
If you see Krishna in even last angels, you will forget all other things. Yes? This is our.
You don't require to say your position. You engage your ears for hearing Bhagavad Gita activity. You will forget all nonsense. You engage your eyes to see the beauty of divinity, Krishna. You engage your tongue for thanking Krishna Dharma. You engage your hands to come to the temple. You engage your hands to work for Krishna. You engage your nose to spend the power to offer to Krishna. Then, wherever your sense will go, in captivated all out. The perfect is sure. You don't require to control your sense fully free. Don't eat, don't do it. Don't do it?
No.
No. You have to take the engagement.
In the purpose of the lecture, in Latin 68, here our today's lesson is over. Any questions? Yes, for
the ninth sense of all, it is mentioned, by not by an object and a Lord can one attain perfection. The today most of the four atoms, it is Maya system, first Bhagavan is telling Maya system. Then my doubt is, why that four atoms is
Sanyas,
Grantha,
Brahmacharya, one person.
But see, directly, one is going to attending
Sanyas Ashram.
Sanyas Ashram. They are actually contest Brahmacharya, Grantha, then Vanaprastha, then Sanyasa.
Right.
It is the perfection. Right? Without that, directly going from Brahmacharya to Sanyasa, is this the correct?
See, the system is four ashram, 1, 2, 3, 4. Very rare souls which have already done all the different practices, they are here only for purpose of preaching, like Shankaracharya said. he took your sannyas at 12 years age or something like that. So there are certain special souls, they are in this world for a special mission. They may take sannyas directly if their heart is purified from past life practice. But generally, this is the system to go brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprast and sannyasa.
So,
Srila Prabhupada gave sannyas to the young brahmachari. And Prabhupada was asked that Prabhupada, they are giving sannyas to the brahmacharis. Prabhupada answered that when there is a war, any young man is recruit for army because there is a need for emergency. So, by starting Krishna conscious movement, we have waged war against Maya. So I am recruiting all these young soldiers as sannyasis. I know they will be wounded in this war. Some will be wounded, some will not survive, but some will survive. So I am taking this risk for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. So this is Prabhupada's answer. But you are a fit for sannyas. Sorry, Krishna. There is a positive engagement for everything. If you want to see television, then better you make your heart television and see the Krishna Leela within your heart. Yes. Prabhupada has described Sanjay was imparted the science by Vyasadev to operate the Hirday Doordarshan, the heart television. And he could see what is happening and he was telling to the Dhritarashtra. So our acharyas, when they were saying that when we chant Hare Krishna and when perfect and clean our hearts, this our hearts become television. And we can see the beautiful Krishna Nitya Leela, and then we don't want to see anything of this world. Like the children, they want to see the cartoon, they never want to leave that. Or you see some serial, you don't want to leave that. Similarly, the devotee, when they purify their heart, they will see Krishna Leela inside, continuously going on, and they don't want to see anything outside. That leads purification of heart. But before that, for children, we have devotional cartoons, we have devotional movies, we have devotional other video programs. The same thing can be, the engagement, same television can be used for propagating Krishna consciousness. Yes, can be. There are beautiful dramas for performance. We should ourselves perform nice drama for preaching. At one time, theater was the popular entertainment in the world. Now this television has come. Before, the theater was the popular entertainment. So we can have nice theater, nice drama. That will be nice. People will be entertained. But Prabhupada, you simply hear Bhagavad Gita. For 2 hours you are hearing Bhagavad Gita. So for these 2 hours at least, there is no other engagement outside. So if we develop taste for hearing, then it will really help us. Hare Krishna. Yes, Kanai. Sundar Kanai.
So I have 2 questions. One is when you say Vishwakarma, you give example of Vijay. He is not, he does not desire the fruits of his action. So but he is attached to his action. So his attachment to action is not sort of attachment to approval, because attaching action means he is also desiring something, he is getting some enjoyment. he gets some kind of enjoyment by doing that karma. Is it not desiring fruit?
Devotee is free from any result of his action. Generally, devotee is not under the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. He is not under the jurisdiction of Maya. He is under the protection of Haladini Shakti, Haladini Shakti. So for him there is no attachment, but generally devotee at early stages have more like attachment to particular, like life member preacher, they want to be life member preacher, they don't want to do any other seva. They have some attachment to that. So gradually when they mature, they will do any service. In early days, the rule was that, please cook, yes. May not know, but you go in the kitchen, that's it. So that is bhakti means, no attachment to any work or the fruit, simply ready to execute under the direction of the presence of Krishna. Whatever he says, do it. That's it.
That means there is a
Krishna
gradual development from sakarma, karma and nishkarma.
Actually, the process is that we are at the animalistic stage. We simply want to eat, enjoy. But when we see the direction given in the scripture for performing some rituals from the Vedas, then we are coming to the platform of human beings. Those who are not following the Vedic injection, they are at the animalistic platform. Whatever work they are doing, this is against the Shastra called the karma. Once you do the karma, it means according to the direction of Shastra. When we work under the direction of Shastra, then we need a Brahman priest. This Brahman priest will do yajna for us. Then he will promise that by this yajna you will get this benefit. So we believe, at least in the authority of Veda. But one day Brahman will say, even if you go to the heaven again, you have to come back. Then we say, then what to do? Then the higher part of the Veda, Gyan Khand, will come in action. So you want to work, really know about who you are. If by performing yajna you go to the Sarg, it means you believe in the soul, eternity of the soul. So you are also advancing gradually. So from the animalistic stage to the human is following the Vedic rules and regulations. Then we are at a Karma Khand stage. In Karma Khand, we know that it is better to enjoy at heaven than here. Then we have no interest here, we want to go to the heaven. Then again we come here, then we have experience that there is nothing in heaven also. Then we know something from the priest, some good devotee, that it is better to become a devotee. Work for Vishnu. Then from Karma Khand, we will come to the stage of working for Vishnu. Renunciation. Fruits, still we have a desire. Now Karma Yogi, we become Karma Yogi from Karma Khand. But Karma Yogi, but Sakam Karma Yogi. Still we have desires. Then one stage, why to desire something from Krishna? Why not to desire Krishna himself? Here the process is like that. Now you are working for Krishna. Then what is your next desire? Karma Khand, Karma Yoga means working for Krishna. Like in your ordinary life you are working for some company. So company is getting 1 lakh rupees from your work, then he is giving you 50,000 rupees salary. Is it right?
You are working for some company. Company will get at least from your work 1 lakh rupees, then they will give you 50,000. So this is sakam karma. This is sakam karma yoga for the company. You are working for the company, something you are giving to the company, sometimes you are enjoying. Okay? Now, one stage. Devotee thinks, well, you know that why should I not work for Supreme Lord and give and don't expect anything is great. Then working for Krishna, so working for Vishnu and not expecting any result, simply working, that is Nishkam Karma Yoga. But if Nishkam Karma Yoga, the desire will arise, I'm working for whom? Let me know who is my boss. You are working in some company, company may have 100 branches and giving you salary, you are working for a company, then your desire is to know who is the boss. How much empire he has. So from Nishkam Karma Yoga, the devotee will desire to know Krishna. When he develops a desire to know Krishna, then his knowledge increases about Krishna and his renunciation also increases. When in Nishkam Karma Yoga, knowledge and renunciation increases, he is advancing to Jnana Yoga. Then he knows he is working for whom. Then his desire is, let me see my boss. The next desire is to see the boss. That is Jnana Yoga. When you sit in meditation and you want to see that Lord is in the eyes, it's called Jnana Yoga. In meditation, when you see the Lord within the heart, then he also sees some devotees. Like you see your boss from a distance, it came into your company, but you can see your boss is sitting with some other officers together, shaking hands, eating together. Then you will develop desire, why can't I shake hands with boss? Why can't I eat with boss? I can do that. That desire is from Jnana Yoga to Bhakti Yoga. I want to serve, I want to meet, I want to share. So this is a gradual development of yoga later. From animalistic stage to the karma khand, to the karma yoga, to the jnana yoga, to the dhyana yoga and to the bhakti yoga. This is a gradual process. This is the process which may take many lifetimes. Because jnana you can only have if you are Brahman. Then you can have a Vedic knowledge. Generally, system is very blended. The bhakti yoga on the other hand, all these can directly enter into the bhakti yoga at any level, and that needs association of devotee. If karma yogi, karma khandi, if he gets association of devotee, then he will enter immediately into a bhakti yoga which is like an elevator, which will directly go up. This depends upon the mercy of Supreme Lord and mercy of the devotee. So this is the whole yoga ladder we will do actually in chapter 6. Third chapter, fourth chapter, sixth chapter we will do this. So this is a process to understand. What we are doing right now is we are devotees, neither Nishkam Karmis, neither Nishkam Karmis. It may appear that we are like Nishkam Karmis or Sakam Karmis, but we are devotees. But devotion also has a mix. Karma mixed bhakti, jnana mixed bhakti with mixed with jnana, bhakti mixed with karma, bhakti mixed with yoga. So these are the different stages of bhakti. Know any process, karma, jnana or yoga can give any result without bhakti. Any process must have bhakti added to it, then there is a result. But bhakti is independent. All other processes are dependent upon bhakti, but bhakti is independent. So process in bhakti is sublime, superior and independent. So we have to, by studying all these chapters, we have to prove that bhakti is supreme in Bhagavad Gita.
of all these different crosses, which are different stages, ultimately to reach to the Bhakti Yoga. Okay, Hare Krishna? So we have finished 9 verses and tomorrow we will continue further in 3rd chapter. Jaya Kutumar. The other menu is the other. Okay, Hare Krishna? Thank you very much.